So, you know, I'm training for a 5K. Recall run coming up. I'm going to walk it. So, but again, thank you so much for the warm birthday wishes, and also for you amazing moms. Know that we do. We not only just honor and celebrate you today, we celebrate you every day. Can we get up for our moms? Thank you so much for what you endure, for what you've done. Well, last week we started a series, Overwhelmed, because there's a good chance that if you're here today, you've been overwhelmed in the past, you're overwhelmed today, or you're overwhelmed, or you're going to be overwhelmed in the future. And we talked about that. Not only are we going to be overwhelmed in this world, that Jesus himself was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed when he was about to be handed over to die. He was so stressed out, so overwhelmed that he fell down and he begged God and said, God, please, if this cup be taken from me, man, let it be so. But if not, let your will be done in my life. And it said that he was so overwhelmed that he even began to sweat blood. Now that's overwhelmed, amen? Jesus, if there's anybody that can understand the feelings that we go through, the emotions that we deal with, it's Jesus. But this is what he said in Matthew 11, 28, 30. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he invites us to find rest in him. This is what I believe. Jesus went through it so me and you could find rest in it. Okay, Jesus went through what he went through so me and you could find rest in. And last week we talked about being overwhelmed with fear. The fear's not going to go away, but what we can do is we need to remember God's miracles and we need to feed our faith, amen? We need to feed our faith. So today, I'm so excited that you know who's going to be bringing the word today. I thought, who better to speak on Mother's Day than a mother herself? So give it up for Miss Tara Dyson's in the house!
Thank you, friend. Happy birthday. Y'all, I had a moment of panic. I was like, where's the table? Why would you do that to me? I don't know what to do with my hands, you know? So I am glad to be here this morning, and I do need the table because, you know, I like this old-fashioned Bible stuff. Like I told the ladies at the women's conference, at least the battery won't run out on this one. All right, so today we're going to do the stereotypical verses for Mother's Day and look at the Proverbs 31 wife. Oh, see, at least somebody's excited, because like half of you just were like, oh God, again, help me. I'm never going to be like that lady. Would they stop asking me, please? Right? I remember being a little girl, and my mom is not here yet, but I remember her saying one time, she's like, I don't even want to go today, because they're going to talk about that Proverbs 31 wife, and I am not her. And now I'm feeling it. I'm like, yeah, me neither, mama. I ain't her either. So, but we are going to talk about the Proverbs 31 wife just for a minute, because I actually rewrote it for the modern version, or the Brandon Henry version. I don't know. Am I allowed to use that? Is that copywritten yet? So I rewrote it. I have it up here. If y'all put it up there just so that you could see the original, or not the original, because that was in Hebrew, but this is the New King James Version. So if she were alive today, it would read like this. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above today's stock market. The heart of her husband trusts her to find his keys when they go missing, or his wallet, or his socks, or whatever else he's lost. Her yoga pants fit her perfectly all the days of her life. She volunteers for nonprofit organizations. Her organic almond wheat muffins are divine. And she provides food for her household. She makes a tapestry for herself. And while others buy them at Home Goods, she sets a higher standard. She opens her mouth and Mary Poppins pours forth. Her children are perfect, well-behaved in every way. And nobody really likes her. So that's my version of today's modern woman, right? You know that girl, you're like, she's so nice, and I would really like to like her, but I just can't because her life seems way too perfect on Instagram. Like, can we see a makeup-free selfie once in a while, please? Okay, so I feel like that's our expectation as women, and I'm not just talking to the ladies today, guys. Don't worry, I didn't leave you out. But for us ladies, we have this expectation set before us to be this perfect woman, this Proverbs 31 woman. But I also want to debunk her for just a moment. So if you'll leave that up there while I'm talking about her, because I want to point out that we've got this. You know, it starts with who can find a virtuous wife? Well, hey, I got that one. start out real good. I am a virtuous wife. How many of you could say, yeah, I got that. I got that. And then it all goes downhill from there, right? Because in verse 13, she says, willingly works with her hands. Now, I do sometimes willingly work with my hands, but when I was plunging the toilet yesterday, I was not so willingly doing that. Okay, I was like, dear Lord, help me with all these boys in the house. And then it goes on to verse 15, and it says, she rises while it's yet night and prepares food for her household. Y'all, I ain't never done that either. Matter of fact, my kids wake up on Saturday, grab the Cheerios box out of the pantry, turn on Netflix themselves, and I stay in bed. I'm like, praise the Lord, they're old enough to do that. I get 20 more minutes. I have never woken up in the middle of the night to wake up and make breakfast like she did. And then in verse 15, though, we found out her secret because it goes on to say, she also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maid servants. Now we know why she's perfect. She doesn't have just one. It says maid servants. She's got at least two. She's got help. No wonder she's so great, right? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but yesterday as I was mopping floors, I was thinking about her, thinking I could use some maid servants. I can get Lorraine to do the dishes every once in a while. So then we go on, and in verse 23, we still find out more about this lady, because in verse 23, it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. That's a Hebrew version for saying he's rich. So he's got lots of money. I mean, no wonder she got maid servants. It's rich. She's dressing in fine linen. She is the epitome of what women might want to be, but that we will probably never be. So as we read this verse every Mother's Day, and we look at her and we think she's perfect, I just want to remind you that she really is just a metaphor. And if you don't believe me, continue on to verse 28, where it says her children rise up and call her blessed. Because if y'all raising teenagers, you know this lady's already like a grandma, because she's already gone through the teenage years where they can look back and be like, you really did know everything. Because right now, she doesn't have teenagers calling her blessed. Anybody feel me? Anybody else with teenagers? So she is just the metaphor. It's kind of like, in Matthew 5, when Jesus says, be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. He's not meaning like literal perfection any more than Solomon is telling us that you're actually going to be this woman, but it is a goal. It is an end to where we want to live our lives. We don't want to necessarily be all of these things, but we look at her and we say, okay, she is the virtuous wife. She is the mother that we can be, because we hope that someday our children do call us blessed and that we are something that our husband can be proud of. And if you are raising those teenagers, you know, right now you're thinking, I don't know, she hasn't made. But Proverbs also tells us that if you teach your children the word, they will not depart from it. So hang in there. Eventually we will be blessed and we will be seen as this Proverbs 31 woman. And again, my mom is not here, but I plan on telling her that she does a lot better job at it than what she thinks, which is true for most of you sitting out there, because we have this expectation put on us to be this super mom, this super wife, to be that beautiful, perfect person, but we just need to slow our roles. We need to step back and realize that this is not achievable, and if we allow this to become our ideal, then we will become overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by expectation of what the world expects of us, of what our spouses expect of us, our children, our bosses. Everything around us says, here's what I expect from you, and you can allow it to overwhelm you, or you can choose to step back and slow down. And as I talk today, please don't look at me and be like, wow, she's really got it all together, because I do not. I am often overwhelmed. I don't know if you saw my little highlight video with Lorraine where she walks in and she says, I need this, I need this, I need this. When I asked her, I said, hey, will you help me with the promo video? I just need you to come in and ask me a lot of things at once. And she goes, sure, I do that anyway. You're right, sister, because it's true. They throw things at us. And she's just one person in my life. But of course, I'm happy to help her, so don't rag on her too much. But we are happy to do those things, but we sometimes become bombarded by this world's expectations. It's kind of like if you're single, right? It starts out there. How many of you single? Go ahead and raise your hand. I know we've already covered this, so I'm not going to re-preach it, but look around. Look around. Keep them up. Y'all were like, hey, this is the place to meet somebody. Go ahead and raise your hands again. Okay, good job. Good job. Okay, so you single people, right? The world's expectation is, oh, I hope you get married. Okay, well, that's cool. But I mean, if you yourself don't care to be married, then it really doesn't matter, right? Because it's not your expectation for your life. But the world says, oh, I hope you get married. But may I say, and I know that we've already gone through this sermon series, but your singleness really is a gift. It is the moment in your life where you have a relationship with God and there is nobody else in it. Because when you get married, you're inviting somebody into your relationship with God. You're not inviting God into your relationship with that person. Okay, let me say that again. Right now, if you're single, you have the relationship with God and you invite that person into that relationship. It's not the other way around, okay? So spend that time with him. Don't adhere to the expectation that, oh, I should be married. Because it's not up to you, really. It's up to seeking the will of the Lord. And if you do get married, slow down too, because as soon as you get married and walk off the cruise ship, they're going to be like, so when are you having babies? You're going to make such cute babies. Seriously, I haven't even like finished peeling from my sunburn. And you want to know when I'm going to have kids? Because that's the expectation that the world has on here. But let me stay here for just a moment, because I know that this is a topic that people don't really always talk about. And it's why Mother's Day is hard for people. First off, because we want to talk about the Proverbs 31 woman and expect everybody to be her, it's hard to listen to. Secondly, some of you have lost your mamas and you miss her today. That's another reason it's hard. And thirdly, some of you sitting here right now, your greatest desire in life is to be a mama. And I'm going to probably cry because this is my heart for women, because I have so many friends who are in that place right now. And when Mike and I first got married, we were on like the 3-year plan. Okay, well, when we've been married for 3 years, we'll have a kid. And I remember distinctly sitting on our front porch after our 3rd-year anniversary being like, maybe we should wait for 4. We were not ready for that. And I'm the first to admit I was selfish with my time. I didn't want to have to be totally selfless, so I wasn't ready. But then time came and I was like, okay, now we're ready. You know, we prayed about it. We're ready to have children. And we waited and we waited and we waited. And people kept asking me, so when are you going to have a baby? Which, you know, when I wasn't ready, it was like, nah, I don't know, whenever I feel like it. But then after my heart's desire was to have one, every time somebody asked me that, it was like a dagger into my heart. It was like, my real answer would have been like full of snot and tears. Like, I don't know, but let me tell you about my fertility issues. But instead, I was the Proverbs 31 woman. I was like, well, whenever the Lord desires it. And if you knew me back then, that's exactly the way I said it. Oh, it's in the Lord's will. And in the back of my head, I'm going, I wish your will would hurry up because I'm ready, Lord. And so I prayed and I prayed, and it was just not in the cards for me at that time. But I also remember praying and fasting. And I remember getting on my face before the Lord and I prayed the words of Hannah in Samuel 1. And I prayed, Lord, give me this child. And I prayed the words of Zechariah as he prayed over John the Baptist. And I prophesied over my child. And I said, Lord, make my child strong as you did John the Baptist. And I prayed over that child. And I waited. And I was quiet. And I listened. And I heard it. And I felt a peace from that moment because I knew the Lord's will for me. I knew his will was that I would have a child. And so instead, that expectation was replaced by peace. I no longer had that expectation because I knew a peace from waiting for the answer from my father. And I kid you not, 9 months later, I had a little boy. And I had to show him off. So go ahead, show him off, my baby. Because it was in the waiting. It was in the expectation that I felt turmoil and anguish. But it was in the praying that I found peace. And I got to have this sweet little boy who has just rocked my world. Told y'all I was going to cry. But anyway, so I listened. And again, I told you my heart is for my friends who are not able to have children. And so I prayed again, and I fasted, and I waited with some of my friends. And I heard the answer. And then this little kid came along too. That little girl is so special because she is the second child for whom I prayed and fasted and listened and knew that she was going to come into this world. because I wanted to hear from my father. I wanted to know his will, not just for me, but for my friends. And this little girl is so precious, and I squeeze on her all the time. If y'all see me kissing on her, no, I'm not biologically, thank you so much, biologically related, but I'm spiritually related to that little girl, and I love her. And so then, going back to expectations, after I had two little boys, because then I got another one, Stryker asked me the other day, he said, Mama, did you always want two kids, or was God just nice enough to give you two? God was just nice enough to give me two. So I went on, and then there's this expectation. I had Stryker, and I had Asher, and then what does everybody say? Oh, you need a little girl. Oh, and I'm thinking, I got some man-to-man defense. I got one kid for each hand. I can drag them both through Walmart at the same time. I don't know what to do with the third one. Just hold on, you know? So I was like, no, I'm good. But that expectation that drove me crazy when I didn't have Stryker now became, I don't need a little girl, y'all. But don't you know, my father was like, oh, wait for it. Because mommyhood developed for me in a different way because I did get a little girl. She's taller than I am and potty trained, thank goodness. You can show a picture of all three of my kids because, you know, if I got to show off one, I got to show off all three of them. This is Christmas morning. This is Lorraine. So this is not what I pictured growing up. When I was a teenager, I remember praying for my children. I was probably like the old lady teenager because I remember actually laying in bed, placing my hand on my uterus and praying for my future children. And I was like, dear Lord, thank you for the boy that I'm going to have first. And 3 years later, I'm going to have a little girl. My life is going to be perfect. I'm going to have a picket fence and everything. Well, that didn't happen for me, obviously. But that's my point, y'all. Those of you who are sitting here right now and you're just like, I want to be a mom. I want to be a mom. Your road to mommyhood may not be what you expect it to be. There are so many different kind of moms in this world, and I'm a legacy of them. My great-grandmother adopted my granny. My granny adopted a girl. My mom took in one of my friends in high school, and now I get the privilege to raise a little girl, and I call her my daughter. So for those of you who are sitting here, and you're like, God, I just want a child. I just want a child. I just want a child. I tell you, sit and wait. Listen for the answer, because what you desire may not be his desire for you. That's not what you want to hear. That's not what anybody wants to hear who's going through any struggle at all. But when you need an answer from the Lord because you are overwhelmed by your desires or overwhelmed by the world's expectations, step back, slow down, and listen to what it is that he's telling you. Because in that, you will find a peace that far exceeds all those expectations, that far exceeds all of that weight and that pressure on you. The definition of overwhelmed is being burdened by a mass. Basically, it's just a weight on you. And last week, Brandon talked about fear and what it does for you. But I feel like in today's world, with how busy we are, expectation probably weighs down everybody. For some of you, you deal with fear. For some of us, we deal with other things. And for me, truly, it is the expectation of what I need to do in this world. And if you look at scripture, because I always want to go back to scripture, if you look at Psalm 61, I'll give you a chance to turn in your pages there for all of you who are spiritually minded enough to bring your Bible to church. I'm just kidding. I don't bring mine every Sunday. But when I'm really reading, I like to hold a book. On Psalm 61, I feel like this is the most poignant prayer that David prayed throughout all the psalm, because he says to us, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He was crying out to his father, I am overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that is what I encourage you to do, is to pray to be lifted up out of where you are today. And as an example, also Brandon talked about, I thought for a minute he was going to preach my sermon, and I was like, shh. Because we look at the life of Jesus. And you remember his disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And he gave them in Matthew 6. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And, you know, most of you, if you played sports in high school, you probably quoted that without really thinking about it. But Jesus gave them an example, an outline of how to pray. But what Jesus did even more while he was here in this world was showed them how to pray. And when you look at the Gospels and Jesus praying to his Father, sure, he prayed over the bread before he broke it and fed the thousands. And he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But as far as Jesus seeking the face of his Father, we don't know those prayers. They were so intimate because he did them alone. So I wanted to show you just a few verses where Jesus goes alone to pray. Matthew 14, 23. This is after he had fed the 5,000. And it goes on, I'm sorry, Matthew 14, verse 22. He's fed the multitudes, and now he's ready to be alone because, you know, he's surrounded by people every single day of his ministry. And what do the people do? They just want from him. They ask him a bunch of questions. He travels with a bunch of guys who still, despite the fact that he says, I'm the Son of God, they're like, I wonder what that means. You know, he got so exasperated with people because he's like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So how do we get to heaven again? Could you tell me? And he's just like, oh my goodness, Lord, help me. And he's surrounded by people and all they ever do is want, want, want. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, feed me. Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's kind of like us moms. Mom, mama, 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 mommy, mom, mom, mom. Name of Jesus, name of Jesus. Do, do, do. Mommy's not available right now. Please leave your name after the tone. Does you know Jesus was thinking about that? He's like, oh. So he did. Actually, he was like, okay, y'all back away. He literally sends them away in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Jesus spent the whole day surrounded by people. And what did he do? Hey, guys, go get in the boat. Go get in the boat. I'm going to send all these 15,000 people away, and I'm going to go pray. And he goes alone, and he prays. And we don't know what he prays, but you know what happens while he's praying? If you keep reading that chapter, this is when the storm comes while his disciples are on the boat. And he's just praying, and they're on the boat by themselves. And don't you know, they are freaking out. If Jesus was here right now, this would not be happening. Where is Jesus? And Jesus is taking a time out. Jesus is taking a time out for what's most important in his life. And he's seeking the will of his Father. He's seeking his face. He's finding rejuvenation from the overwhelming circumstances that he finds himself in. And right now, everybody's freaking out. And sometimes that's the way we feel, right? We're the ones freaking out in the storm. If Jesus was here, I don't know what he'd be doing. And what we don't realize is that Jesus is advocating on our behalf to the Father. He's there talking to the Father. Father, remember them. See them, bless them. Forgive them, they know not what they do. And he is praying prayers over us in this midst, and we're in the storm, we're going, where's Jesus? And then he walks out on the water, right? That's what he does later in this chapter. But immediately Jesus spoke to them because they saw him from far off. And he says, don't be afraid. It is I. After spending time with the Father, he was able to walk out on water and meet them in the midst of their storm. And I feel like that's a great metaphor for our lives, because sometimes you find yourself in the storm and what you don't realize is Jesus is there. He's there doing the really, really important stuff so that he can walk out on water and say, don't be afraid. It is I. So he finds himself there with the Father. And if you look again, in Mark 1:35, in the early morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Mark 6:46, after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. Luke 5:16, but Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness to pray. Luke 6:12, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. What do we notice about Jesus? He stopped, he slowed down, and he went off by himself to pray. This one in Luke 6:12, where he spent all night praying, was the night before he chose his 12. He spent the entire night, God, what is it that you want me to do? Who should I choose? And then that next day is when he goes out and he chooses his 12. So to find your real answers, to really understand what it is to know peace, We have to do that. In this world where expectation is thrown at us and thrown at us, it's saying, get alone with me. Sorry, I just looked at the time and now I'm having like a freak out moment. Oh my gosh, is that all I have? Now I know what Brandon feels like. I'm not done. The Lord has a lot more to say to y'all. But anyway, but we look at Jesus and he is right before he faces death and he knows that it's imminent. And he comes to the Father and he says, not my will, but yours be done. He's in the garden. And I want to show you that in the Bible. It's in Mark 14. And he says to them, he takes his disciples and he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. And then he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Notice Jesus brings friends with him. He prays, but then he goes a little farther. And sometimes that's where we are with our prayer life. We want to kind of, it's like the Wizard of Oz. Can you just open the curtain and get right to it? Right? To God. And he said, go a little farther. Even Jesus, the night before he died, prayed and said, Lord, take this cup from me. And then he woke his friends, but he says, I am just still overwhelmed. He had not found that peace that he needed. And so he goes a little farther into the garden. And what God is telling us is go farther with me until you find what it is that you seek, because I am a good God and I will give it to you. I am faithful and I will give you peace that passes all understanding. Take my yoke upon you because it is light and it is not burdensome. So if you find yourself burdened today, if you find yourself overwhelmed, that's what he needs you to do. Seek him, go farther with him, trust him to be there when you need him to be. And that's what he's asking of us. That's what he modeled for us. He's not asking us to do anything he didn't already do himself. He showed us. He is the greatest example, the greatest model of who we are. So I do want to go ahead and invite my prayer team to come up. And I'm going to invite two different groups of people to come up for prayer. And if you don't think prayer with people is powerful, where did Jesus start in the garden? He started with his friends. When he faced persecution and death, he started with his friends. And then he went off alone to pray. So I encourage you today, if this first invitation applies to you, come and pray with this prayer team, because y'all, they are mighty warriors and they will pray and you can have confidence in them. So the first group is those of you, if you want to all go ahead and stand up so it's not awkward for one person when you stand up to pray. If you are feeling overwhelmed, whether it be by fear, expectation, by burdens, whatever it may be that you are just sitting here and your heart is clenched and you are going, that is me. I feel it, God, and I feel that you are far, and I don't know what to do, but I know I feel this burden. I want you to come up for prayer with somebody, and it takes guts, and it takes courage, but it also will get you to where you need to be with Jesus. And the second group of people, if you're standing here today and you think, I don't know who this Jesus is. I mean, I've heard of him, but as far as this relationship with him that you talk about going farther with him, I don't know what that means. I want you to also come forward and pray with somebody and tell them, I don't know what that means, because they can lead you towards that. But I do want to go ahead, if everybody will close your eyes and bow your head. If that second group of you is you and you say, I don't know who this Jesus is. I've heard of him, but I don't know him in a way that I can come before him like you said. I want you to raise your hand just so I can see. See your hands. And you. Anyone else? Praise the Lord for y'all. All right, if you will, join me in this prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for your grace. I tell you today that I am a sinner, but I desire to know who you are. I desire to know your will, to walk with you. Give me courage. Give me wisdom. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name.